Grace and peace to you, who the narrow door has been opened to and who by grace are standing in the threshold. Has it happened to you that there's a question you really want to ask, but you're too timid, you're too shy? But then there's also another person who's got the same question who isn't. It's a little bit more bold of a person, and they ask the question you've been dying to hear the answer to. So what happens in our reading? Someone asks the question, Lord, are only a few going to be saved? A question that might be on some of our minds as we go through life. But as it also happens, sometimes the questions that we ask aren't the questions we should ask. And so Jesus, as he often does, he doesn't answer that question directly. He redirects the person to the question they should ask, which is, Lord, am I going to be saved? That's really the question he answers. And so he redirects this man and he says, strive, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. And so that we can stop speculating about the narrow door. The narrow door is Jesus Christ. What his works have done for us, they have opened a way to be with him forever. So you can think of the narrow door as Jesus or faith in Jesus. They really go hand in hand. So Jesus is saying, make every effort to enter through to heaven through Jesus and faith in Jesus. Making every effort, I want to pause on that and really think about what is making every effort? Where are the times in life that we make every effort? I'll start with a few lighter examples and then we'll get to some more serious ones. Well, I remember as a kid there was a new TV show that came on. It was a book series that we had read, and now all of a sudden they're making a TV series. But it was my turn to do the dishes. Guess how fast I did the dishes. I was making every effort to get those dishes done so I could watch that TV show. Then I think of the sports realm there. I was in grade school where we were a co-ed soccer team. And lo and behold, somehow we got scheduled to play an all-girls team. And so we were doing well. The other team hadn't scored any goals. But all of a sudden, they got a breakaway. If you know anything about soccer, there's offsides. And to catch people offsides, you step forward so that the other team is offsides. But if you do it wrong, they get a huge head start going the other way. And that's what had happened. So there was these two girls way ahead of everybody else. And the defenders on my team had just given up. They weren't even going to chase them. But our goalie, I knew how he would feel if a girl scored on him, let alone a team that was all girls. So I was a midfielder, but I had been facing the right direction, so I'd tear off after those girls. And the girls were dogging it because they knew they had such a lead and they didn't think anyone was going to catch up to them. So I just catch up to them, and I come around, and I just kick the ball out of bounds, and they push me, I fall down and slide. And then what did the goalie say? He said, thank you. Thank you. I said, not a problem. So there is just one example I think of making every effort in a sports team. And then I think of my college life and thinking about looking good. And so one aspect of that is your hair. Maybe you didn't know this, I used to have a hairdo. And so this is how I went about doing it. I had a brush and a blow dryer, and you had to blow dry your hair while brushing it back. Then I had to use the specific product, Clean Cut by Mitch. You had to spread it out into your hands so you wouldn't get any globs. Then you had to feather it into your hair, and you had to shape your hair. Then when it was all shaped, then you had to hit it with some hairspray to lock it in even further, but not too much, so it didn't look crusty. Then as I'm walking throughout the day, like I'm walking to chapel, if the wind is blowing a certain direction, I had to walk so that the wind wouldn't catch my hair. All this for my hair, making every effort. Those of us who have struggled with vanity know what it's like to make every effort for how we look. Then you think about those things that get a bit more serious. You think about the medical world. If you've ever witnessed it, someone that they're trying to resuscitate, whose heart has stopped. I won't describe it because it's kind of awful to see them just working on your loved one like that. But they're making every effort to keep them alive, to keep them on this side. And so then it comes back to what we're really talking about today is making every effort to stay in the faith, to stay with Jesus so that we end up through the narrow door. And so you think in your life, like, what do you make every effort for in your own life on earthly things? And then how does that transition over to making every effort for the thing that really matters? Faith in eternity. And as I look through my own life, the things that I make every effort for are the things that serve me. The things that give me enjoyment. Those are the things that I'm tempted to make every effort for. But are those the things that I should make every effort for? While we're contemplating that, while you're thinking about that in your own life, we turn back to Jesus' words to this man, and he gives him this, tries to refocus him, tries to kind of shape his expectation of what he should be doing. Don't waste your time thinking about them and if they're going to make it and the number of people that are going to make it. Don't do that and forget about yourself. And then he gives them the why. Everyone wants to know the why. Our kids ask the why. Why am I making every effort to enter through the narrow door? Jesus says, because I'll be straight with you. There's a lot of people who desire to enter, who try to enter, but will not be able to. And then he tells them what it's going to be like for those people. When the master gets up and he shuts the door, you're going to be outside and you're going to start knocking and say, Lord, open up to us. What's his first reply? I don't know you. Have you had that where a friend haven't seen in a while? And you bump into them, they don't even recognize you. And you say, you have to start explaining yourself to them. And that, you see, that's what these people do. Lord, we had this fellowship with you. We were eating and drinking with you. You were teaching us. You taught in our streets. We heard your word. And then he doubles down and he says, I don't even know where you come from. You are from a different world. You are from a different world. Place. And they try to explain farther, and then he says it again. I don't know where you come from. Depart from me, you evildoers. What happened with these people? You see, these weren't the obvious, blatant, wicked sinners. These people were the people that were in church every Sunday. These were the people that heard God's word regularly. How is it that they are not making it through the narrow door? Their heart isn't in the right place. What happens with the Word of God is you hear the Word of God, you hear that He's won your salvation for you. And this is what can happen in your heart. You take that truth, that trophy, that righteousness, and you set it on a shelf. And you say to yourself, I have that. That's my possession. But then you forget about it. And it turns to pride. Turns to pride that I don't need to think about my salvation anymore. I don't. And here's the rub. Here's the disconnect. He's saying make every effort. And that sounds to us like works righteousness. When you're making every effort to enter through the narrow door, you are not earning your salvation. What's happening is you're continuing to fight against your sinful nature that would have you walk away from your salvation and your righteousness. And that's why we have to keep making every effort our whole life. Not because the salvation wasn't good enough, but because we have this sinful nature that's going to set it aside and say, I'm good. And then that pride leads to apathy. Apathy is just, I can go to church, I go through the motions. Not realizing that you've become prideful. That you have, in a sense, this religiosity that is no longer faith. So then, you can see this pride in them in what Jesus says. The door's closed. The door's closed! But they are good enough friends with God. They know God well enough that they can knock on God's door and say, you gotta let me in! And when God says, I don't know you, they say, yes, you do know me. Of course you know me. You know me! They become prideful. They think they deserve to go in. You see what God's warning does for us today? Is it would check any pride that we have, any pride that has come up in us. And it would take us to that mountain, that first mountain, and say, is this where you've come? Our pride would take us to that mountain and say, look, look, look. And the author of Hebrews would say, if you're going to be prideful about it, if you're going to enter on your own terms, hear the command of God. That anyone who breaks one little law is to be stoned to death. To a place of doom and gloom, to this horrific storm, to this booming voice that this most humble man, Moses, would be standing there shaking in terror. Do you think you're more righteous than Moses? And before I turn you to this beautiful mountain where we really have come to our pride, you would ask the question, what can you add to perfection? Nothing. What can you add to righteousness? Nothing. Have you redeemed yourself? No, God, no. And God says, good, because that's not where you've come. Instead, you've come here. You've come to Mount Zion, to the holy city. This is where you've come now. You see, by faith, you are standing in that threshold. The door is open. You've come to God, the judge of all? The judge of all has already laid eyes on you. And what does he say? Perfect. Righteous. You've come to Jesus Christ, the mediator of a New Testament, to this sprinkled blood. It doesn't speak like the blood of Abel. His blood cried out for vengeance. No, you have Jesus' blood. That is done away with vengeance. And so now you're sprinkled with his grace and with his truth. When you see all that Jesus has done for you, what it does is it puts any pride that we have to shame. Why would I hold on to that? Why would I let that make me apathetic when this is the mountain I've come to, when we're tempted to go and make every effort for all these things? When Jesus has made every effort for us so that we can come and have this mountaintop experience now and forever on. You see what Jesus in love comes to do for us. There's a warning in every one of our readings. There's this scope of this narrow door, and it encompasses everyone. And who are you and I? You and I are the ones that were coming from the West. People from Northeast, Southwest are coming. We're coming from the West. He's called us, and as we get closer, we look at ourselves and we see, my goodness, we're obese with sin. We're doubled wide with doubt. We're like the last people we should ever make it through the door. And then Jesus comes to you and he says, no, that's all gone. First he strips us down with the law and he says, you're nothing. You're absolutely nothing. And then he takes the nothingness that he created and he fills us completely up with his righteousness, his perfection. And that's how we're skinny enough to make it through. The warning is for us that if we're going to try and hold on to something, anything, think that we're good enough and we can just become apathetic about our faith and not fight against our sinful nature. And Jesus doesn't want that for us. He wants us to come through. And he's called to us. And now there he is holding us in the threshold so that none of us would walk back away. So that none of us would end up with an awkward situation knocking, calling. And instead of these words, depart from me, all you evildoers, all we'd be met with on the last day is a warm embrace. Amen.